Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the cells at long.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Lee Sinclair's passion for music began when he was just a young boy growing up in Jonesville, South Carolina. He went on to study music and holds a Bachelor in Music Education from Limestone College. His latest CD, Bleeding Black and White, shows off his country and Southern rock influences. My pleasure to welcome to the show Lee Sinclair. Hi there, Lee.
Hey, Dave. How are you, bud?
I am doing great. How about yourself tonight?
Oh, I'm doing real good, trying to stay warm down here. How is it up there? Pretty cold?
Yeah, in Ontario, we've had a bit of snow the last couple of days, and it's cold, so it definitely is starting to look like Christmas.
Hey, I hear you. Great.
So we got a great show in store, Lee. I've enjoyed listening to your music leading up to the show, and we're going to play a couple of tunes from your CD, Bleeding Black and White. We got those set up. Now, let's talk about this Bachelor of Arts in Music Education. What exactly does that represent?
Well, what it ended up being was I was a band director for 10 years. I never really planned on being a teacher when I left high school. You know, what I wanted to do was go play for a living, and I think
Right.
we all know how tough that is. So I ended up getting my education degree, which qualified me to be a school teacher, and I was actually a band director for about 10 years.
Oh, wow. So you were working with kids and teaching them different instruments?
I was, and I still do. I went back and got certified in history. I love the band gig, but it takes up a lot of time, and I didn't have time to go out and play my music or write. And after a while, and I had minored in history, so I went back and got certified to teach history, and now that's kind of my day gig, and I still love it. I get to work with kids every day and teach them and be a part of their lives, and then kind of like a normal job, instead of having all that stuff that coaches and band directors do.
Yeah.
I can kind of cut the lights off and go home about 4 o'clock every day, and that means I can still play and I can go record and all those good things.
Oh, that's really cool. That's neat to have such a different kind of day job with the history teacher. It sounds like a lot of fun as well. Now, a couple other things. When at your young age growing up in Jonesville, South Carolina, I was reading on your site that because you were doing some of these gigs at the age of 14, you actually had to sneak into clubs?
I did. My mom was so great about it. She wasn't crazy about it, but I'd just been playing for so long at that point. She kind of knew that that's where my heart was, and she'd go and she would talk to the owners, you know, ahead of time, and she'd make sure it was good. And some of these, you know, some of those private clubs, I mean, it was really I wasn't supposed to be there. So I would go in and play the set, and when it came break time, you know,
right.
I would go hang out in the car or go somewhere where I wasn't seen a whole lot. You know, just because that wasn't where I was supposed to be at.
So you must have been, at the age of 14, a really good guitar player because you're obviously playing with bands that were older who were in these clubs. And so to be able to keep up with them, you obviously, by the age of 14, had some pretty good guitar skills.
Dave, I'm a drummer. And you and I haven't had a chance to talk much, but that's my first love was always drums. I played drums since I was 6 years old. I started playing guitar and writing and started playing guitar so I could write just about 12
okay.
years ago. So I was a drummer back then, and I'm still a drummer today. I still get some drumming gigs. I don't get as many as I used to, but I actually played drums and recorded 2 albums with the Marshall Tucker Band out of Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Ah, very cool. Okay, so it was drumming first because, I know you for your guitar, of course. So, okay, that's cool, drumming first, and then you got into the guitar. So you actually were on albums that the Marshall Tucker Band put out?
Correct. I played drums on the Face Down in the Blues album probably about 96 or so, 96 or 97,
yeah.
And I played drums on the Gospel album in probably 97, 98.
What a great opportunity. So growing up, was the Marshall Tucker Band one of your influences and a group that you listened to?
Oh, absolutely. And those guys, I live in Jonesville and Spartanburg, which is their hometown, is about 30 minutes up the road. So when I was growing up, you know, kids that played baseball, they wanted to go play for the Braves. Or if they played football, they wanted to go play for the Cowboys. Well, I drummed, man, and I always wanted to go play for Tucker. You know, they were local hometown, so to speak, heroes. And,
yeah.
And especially, you know, late 70s, early 80s. Big influence on me. I ended up taking private lessons from their original drummer, Paul Riddle, for probably 10 years. Paul and I are really good friends now, and I still go teach for him every now and then. He needs a break, takes a vacation. I'll go teach some of his students now. So it was a really great opportunity. Yeah, they were heroes of mine, and then to end up recording two CDs with them was really a dream come true.
I'll bet. Now, you know, you switched from the drum, or you didn't switch, you stayed with the drums, but then you got into guitar now. So was that when you first started actually songwriting?
Pretty much. I had done some songwriting. One of my best friends in one of my early bands was a guitar player, and I had done some songwriting with him, but I was always fairly limited because I didn't play a melody instrument.
Right.
You know, so I could contribute lyrics, but that was about all I could do. I could hear phrases and stuff in my head, but I never, you know, I just didn't play that melody instrument. So, and guitar players get all the women. I decided about 10 or 12 years ago that I was going to really start working on my guitar skills just to be able to write is how it started off. I never thought for a minute I would be fronting a band, singing and playing guitar. It just started out just so I could songwrite, just so I could get those words out, kind of do it myself, so to speak.
And how were some of those first songs that you wrote, Lee? Were you pretty good right from the start, or did it take a bit of time to?
No, they were terrible. They were just awful. Some of them are still in a drawer that I won't pull out. I don't know, songwriting is such a funny thing, and you know, and I've listened to some of your stuff, you know how sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't, even later in life. I can write some right now that will never see the light of day, and I kind of have to get them out, but after that, you know, it's just not what I'm looking for. It's not as good as I think it should be, but still you have to get that emotion out. But no, my early songs were pretty bad, or I thought they were pretty bad anyway. But I don't know of anybody that was born a great songwriter.
Yeah, it does take time. I know with my writing, it takes time to learn the craft and to improve, and that just definitely takes time in doing it. And even now, I mean, I can sit down and write a bad song as well as anybody. So even when you're good, you can still write bad songs.
That's correct. That's right. I told somebody the other day I was so tickled. I've been wanting to see Kris Kristofferson for years, just a great songwriter, one of my heroes. And I finally got tickets. I'm going to get to see him in January. And I told somebody the other day I wondered if Kristofferson was the exception to the rule. You know, if he was born writing good songs. But then when you listen to early Chris, you know that they're not as good as later Chris. So, it's definitely a craft you have to work at.
Definitely. Now I want to turn to one of the songs off your CD. The CD is called Bleeding Black and White. And by the way, people can head over to find out more about you at your websites, LeeSinclairMusic.com, as well as your MySpace site, MySpace.com/LeeSinclair. So the first song I will play is called Too Different, and it's actually T-W-O different, because that's obviously part of the song. So can you tell us a bit about the inspiration behind this one, Lee?
Absolutely. And just about all songs, I kind of write what I live every day. I write what happens. That's the only way I can make things happen. And I found myself a few years ago, and mostly of my own doing, so to speak. But I was in an apartment by myself, was going through a divorce, had a relationship with a girl before that didn't work out. We were never married, but we had bought a house together. And I kind of woke up one morning and literally I was all alone. I lived in an apartment, and I found myself. I owned two different houses with two different women in two different towns, and I owed the local bank $200,000.
Wow.
They were not real happy with me, to say the least. And wasn't seeing either girl. Was really, I was about as lost and lonesome as I had ever been at that point in time. I kind of woke up and wrote that song that day just about where my life was.
Wow, right out of true life, and that speaks for itself. So thanks, Lee. We'll share the song now with our listeners. I know they're going to enjoy it. This is Lee Sinclair and Too Different here on In the Country.
sunshine. With the long shiny hair and the big pretty eyes, I'll drive me out of my mind. You know that I own two different houses with two different women in two different towns.
South Carolina's Lee Sinclair and Two Different here on In the Country, a song that he wrote from real life experience. And Lee, that's the perfect thing a country song does. It takes what is obviously a sad situation and stressful one in real life, and you turn it into a catchy song.
It does, and I tell people, you know, a lot of times in my shows, they kind of get, they laugh and they think that song's funny, and I say that's real funny unless you had to live it.
Lived it, yeah.
But it does, yeah. You can take subjects like that sometimes. I think some of the best songwriters are guys that and girls that can take tough subjects and sometimes, you know, make it to where everybody else can kind of relate to it, because sometimes those subjects are funny.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you say, it's a very catchy song. But it kind of makes you feel good, even though the subject matter is not cheerful, but because it's sort of in that upbeat sense, it kind of gets your toe tapping, and I'm sure people on the dance floor get dancing.
They do, and I would be very remiss, Dave, if I didn't mention the great musicians that are right there. I couldn't have done any of this without those talented people. There's on this whole album and that song in particular, there's people that's played guitar with Randy Travis and people that's played bass with Marshall Tucker and people that's played steel and dobro with David Ball. And there's just a ton of talent in my area, and a lot of those guys are friends of mine and lent their time to come help me do my thing, and I really appreciate that from them.
Definitely, yeah. Shout out to them. So you're obviously very proud of this CD. Now, putting it together, obviously you spent a lot of time in the studio, and did any of the songs surprise you? You probably wrote them on your guitar, and now when you were adding all the bells and whistles and getting the full production done, did it really kind of blow you away how some of the songs turned out?
Some of them really did, and you know, and I know you've seen the transformation. The songs changed so much from the day you first write them to what the finished product was. I decided right before I made the final decision to record this, I decided that I was going to record it myself. And I opened a small studio. I'm not like the big boys and have multiple rooms and huge mixers and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I bought good digital equipment, bought good microphones. And to see the transformation, I mean, to be there, it's kind of my baby. I don't have my own kids, so this CD's really been like my child. So to watch the song start off just on acoustic guitar and change and morph has been really great. And I think probably the one that kind of surprised me the most was a song I really almost didn't put on, which was Cowboys. It's a song about Frank and Jesse James that I sit down one day, and I had been at Walmart, and the bargain DVD bin had a $5 DVD in it that was, as I remember, it was Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson, and it was a movie about the James Gang.
Oh,
and
cool.
Just bought it because it was $5, you know.
Yep.
And couldn't turn it down with those guys in it, and threw it in and watched it, and I just kind of had that scenario of their life playing in my head for a couple of days, and actually wrote that song on the back of a paper sack driving down the road. I know that's probably not the most safe thing in the world to do, but it just surprised me. The song really turned out well. We don't get to do it live a whole lot because of the type of song it is, but I was really surprised by how it turned out.
Very cool, taking, again, something from not necessarily real life, but from an art form, a movie, and coming up with that song. Now, you were talking about how driving down the in your car, writing a song, and that's a lot of times when ideas will get me, and as I'm driving, you know, obviously you got to focus on the driving itself, but the idea will start to form in your brain, and you start to write some lines. So is that one of your favorite places to write, or do you have a place that you get more inspiration from than others?
Driving on the highway really seems a lot of times to do that. I keep a micro cassette, a handheld recorder with me most every time. And surprisingly then, and a lot of times when I first lay down to go to sleep at night, you know, your mind's kind of churning through what's going on during the day. And a lot of times I'll get some ideas right then, and I always try to keep a pen and a piece of paper at least somewhere close enough that if it's just an idea, but if I don't write it down, then it'll be gone
right
by the time I wake up the next day. So, you know, inspiration hits different time, different people, but those are two places that it really happens for me a lot.
And Lee, your sound, you've got country influences and Southern rock, and I noticed in your MySpace you've sort of got the description of progressive country and roll, which I guess combines all those things. Do you have a description, like, for your overall sound in this CD, something sort of a label you have, or do you defy a label?
You know, I hate to pigeonhole it. I do, but in the reality of situation, what is pretty much considered country music today is what Southern rock was when I was growing up. It was, you know, what you hear mainstream country today is what outlaw country or Southern rock, i.e., Skinnerd or the Outlaws or Blackfoot, and it's kind of changed. You know, you get guys that come out now, like Guy to South Carolina is a perfect example. Josh Turner
right.
is a perfect example. He's young, he's fresh, he's great, but they kind of call him classic country or traditional country is what they'll call Josh, because regular normal country day is more like Southern rock used to be. So, you know, I call it country or progressive country or country and roll, but it's I hate to pigeonhole it. I do.
Yeah.
You may see us do anything. You may see me anywhere. You may see me anywhere from a Brad Paisley concert to a Metallica concert, all within the same 2-week time period. Just depends on
right.
how close. And you know, so it's different. My influences are really different. I never would have thought. I can remember growing up, and my grandfather on Friday nights, you watched Hee Haw, you didn't watch anything. And back at that time, it just drove me crazy. I mean, just that just wasn't where I was at. I was a young kid, and I was thinking rock and roll, and got to go see Roy Clark play last year for the first time. And at 70-some-odd years old, he just blew me away. It, you know, I get a lot of influences from a lot of places and don't really know how to call it, but I don't get upset if people label it either. I think that's kind of going out on a limb. I'm just glad people listen to it. Doesn't matter
yeah, exactly.
what they call it, as long as they listen.
That's right. If they listen to your music and enjoy it, then, yeah, the label isn't important. It's
That's right. It's
all about the good music. And we'll head back to the good music now, Lee, from another song from your CD. And this one is called Lost and Lonesome. And I'm going to guess this came from some real-life experiences as well.
It did. I told somebody not long ago, I have, up until very, very recently, I'm 39, I have not ever been very successful with relationships until very recently. And most of these songs were written at various stages of my life, but a lot of them were written during difficult times. And even though this is an upbeat song, this is kind of how I was going through at that particular time, going through my days. And that's kind of how I felt then. I just kind of felt like I was, and I think everybody gets in that funk sometimes where you just feel like you're getting up and going through the motions every day. And that's
sure.
kind of the way I felt. I felt lost and lonesome there for a long time.
Excellent, Lee. Well, we'll listen to this song now from your CD, and you've just explained it very well, the true life experience it came from. This is Lee Sinclair with Lost and Lonesome here on In the Country.
Well, I tried to figure out just what I left out in life, pursuit of fortune and fame. During the day, I go about in the night, I go without. Just like a knife, me to hear your name. I tried everything to ease the sting of knowing that the fall is my own. Now you're gone. Caroline.
Sweet home, Carolina.
That is Lee Sinclair with Lost and Lonesome, and that is taken from his Bleeding Black and White CD. He is our guest today, and you can learn more about Lee at leesinclairmusic.com, as well as his MySpace site, myspace.com/LeeSinclair. Lots of information there and more songs for you to listen to. Now, Lee, if CMT Crossroads were to come calling and put you on the stage and allow you to share it, as they always do, with someone from a different genre of music, who would you choose? Can you think of an act or an artist you would choose to share the stage with?
Oh, man, that's tough. There are so many out there, you know, and Crossroads tries to do a different genre from what you are.
Correct.
Which kind of, in some form or fashion, kind of makes you get rid of a lot of your heroes in your own field.
Exactly.
But I listened to a lot of rock and roll growing up. And, you know, I would love to do something with somebody if it was a Crossroad type situation. Somebody like Bob Seger. Somebody that's really
cool.
Straight ahead, boogie rock and roll that I looked up to.
Yeah.
Even though it kind of wasn't my thing. I was a big Kiss fan growing up. You know, anything along those lines.
That would be very cool. Yeah, Bob Seger and Kiss, two great acts and artists. I've got a few minutes left here, Lee, and I wanted to see if you could pass some advice along. We have a lot of singers and songwriters who tune in, and is there any advice you can pass on that might help them in their career?
You know, there is no substitute for getting out there and doing it. Find you a singer-songwriter's round somewhere, somewhere where the people that are there are doing the same thing you're doing, and most of the time those people don't pass. When you go to those things, those people don't pass judgment. They know that there's new writers there, and they know that there's old writers there, and there's good musicians and mediocre musicians, and there's just no substitute for getting out there and putting it in front of somebody. That experience right there, that's where you learn it. That's where you get that seasoning that somewhat, some form of fashion makes you a professional somewhere down the road. And by professional, I know we don't all get to wake up and make a living doing it. But if you're going out there and somebody cares enough to buy your CD or cares enough to come pay to get into your show, then you're a professional, even if you do have another day gig.
You got it.
So that would be my thing to young people, is get out there and do it and put those songs and put those emotions down on paper, and if nobody ever sees it but you, because it's not as good as the next one, then that's fine. But get it out of your system, and sooner or later, if you keep doing it, then you're going to have one that's going to be better than the last one was, and you're going to have one that you're willing to share with somebody else and let them hear and get somebody else's opinion.
That is awesome advice. Lee, I want to thank you so much. We're just about to close up the show. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you and hearing about your career and hearing your song. So I wish you all the best and hope to talk again in the future.
Dave, thank you so much, and I appreciate what you're doing for our music. You know, I appreciate what you're doing for country music. I mean that.
Awesome. That means a lot, and you are very welcome. My guest today has been South Carolina's country and southern rock artist, Lee Sinclair. Be sure to head on over to leesinclair.com, leesinclairmusic.com, that is. I'm Dave Woods. Thanks for spending time in the country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.